everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have another great program for you today. I know that most of us have questioned ourselves at some point in our life, right? We haven't believed in who we are and all our unique, wonderful gifts. And when that happens, it's hard to convince others of our talents and our worth. Now, my guest today is Rob Jolis. He is a speaker, author, consultant, and coach. He teaches, entertains, and inspires audiences worldwide. He argues that with practice, anyone can cultivate the credibility and soft skills to believe in yourself and then convince others of your talents. And I love that. Rob is also the best-selling author of 6 books, including his latest release, which is called Why People Don't Believe You, Building Credibility from the Inside Out. And to learn more about Rob Jolis and his book, just go to Jolis, JOLLES.com. So welcome to the program, Rob. So nice to have you with us today.
I'm thrilled to be here. I can't wait to start talking about this.
I can tell. Just looking at your website, I can tell you love talking about the topic. But before we get to the topic today, Rob, tell us what inspired you to write a book about building credibility from the inside out.
Well, I kind of almost accidentally, isn't it funny how a lot of times, even in our careers and our relationships, and even for authors, we don't go looking for that book. Sometimes it just finds us. And I kind of harmlessly just volunteered to give a quick presentation to some people that were struggling with career transition. I thought I was going to talk to about 10 people. There were about 250 people in that room. And I
surprise, right?
right. And I never left. I've been volunteering for 6 years now, every Tuesday night. And what happened was I was sort of thrown into a petri dish of people who were bruised and damaged. And that happens to us when you know, we're asked to leave or we struggle in our careers. And it inspired me. I've written for 30 and spoken for 30 years about how to sell and how to persuade. But I've always kind of focused on the words. And I looked at that group and I thought, it's not the words that are failing these people. It's the tune.
And what does that mean? It's not the words, it's the tune.
Okay. So sometimes what happens, and let's just stay on career transition, although I've transferred this over to my entire client base, but let's stay there because it's a classic subject. When we're struggling, we work on resumes. Well, that's words when you think about it. We have a table actually at this place that I volunteer that works on elevator pitches. Words. Mm-hmm. We work on LinkedIn sites. Words. We tend to just kind of focus on here's what you need to say. But what about focusing on the pitch of how we say it, the pace of the way we use our words, where we pause, things that come naturally to some people, other people struggle with, and even those that it comes naturally to, when you get bumped around, 2 or 3 major rejections, and the tune starts fading. It's like listening to music that's going flat. It's just not quite there. And so the argument that I'm trying to present is, hey, rather than be labeled as somebody, you know, well, that's just the way Larry is, what if we could actually change that pitch, work on exercises on pitch, pace, pause, and other things, and restore that tune, that sound that we're looking for.
Well, I love that, Rob. I mean, I'm a psychologist and I work mm-hmm. with relationships and making your relationships better all the time. And what I talk about, as you're saying in my language, is there's verbal communication and there's nonverbal communication. And the nonverbal communication is just as important. And if there is a discrepancy between the two, even more important in what kind of message you're giving to someone else in a relationship. So I think you're saying the same thing, that yes, words are important, verbal communication is important, but if you're not showing someone that you believe in yourself with your pitch, pace, tone, body language, they're going to look at the body language. They're going to look at the tune. Am I correct?
Oh, you're absolutely on that one. And there's actually data out there that supports this. So this really isn't an opinion. It's a fact. In terms of emotional impact, it's been proven that in terms of, and again, the emotional impact, whether I believe you, about 7% due to words, about 38% due to the nonverbal cues, and about 55% right onto the facial expressions. So there's a lot going on nonverbally. And there's a lot going on in the tune. And you know what the tune does? The tune is what determines whether I find you authentic or not. And what could be more important or more damaging to an individual than the lack of coming across as authentic?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what you're saying, though, as well, aren't you, is that if you don't believe in yourself, it's going to come out in that tune, in that nonverbal body language, right?
Yes. And I actually think that's the first building block, because everybody wants to get to the second building block. Which,
yes.
Okay, Rob, tell us about how to get other people to believe us. And I kind of have to back them up. I go, well, now first, we got to believe us. As simple as it sounds, I think one of the first notches we got to get at is we have to remember that the simplest way to be believed is to tell the truth. But many times when we're struggling and we don't believe, in a sense, we're not telling the truth.
What does that mean, tell the truth? What does that mean, Rob?
Well, let's just take an example. Let's say that I happen to think I'm a pretty daggone good presenter. As a matter of fact, I'm a very good presenter. Now, I've had a lot of years at it. Now, whether that's true or not, let the audience decide. But if you wired me up right now to a lie detector and said, true or false, are you an amazing presenter? I'd not only say true, but those needles wouldn't move. I believe that to my very core. And because I believe that, it actually does make me a better presenter. It does make me more authentic. I can't take the stage and think, well, who knows how this one's going to go? Let's give it a shot. So it's a matter of really believing and tell, and that's why I say, just tell the truth, which means if you don't believe, that's not a crime. But we have to now take a step back and figure out what do we need to do to get that belief back. And there are steps involved.
And so I'm sure many listeners are going, okay, I'm not sure I believe in myself. And I'm listening to Rob right now in the show. So how does someone know if they're not believing in themselves or they're struggling? Are there signs? Are there signals that you tell people that they can, you know, hone in on and say, yes, this is the truth, step back and figure it out?
Well, yes. And let's go to the first part of that question. We know. I can assure you the people who are asking that question are not confused. They know. They don't. They're grappling with it. They're battling with it. So for me, when we know, the steps are fairly, I can't say simple, but they're not that complicated. And as I go through certain ideas, I want you to know that unlike when I teach people to sell, there are some, you know, defined tactics. When we, in this book, and what I'm trying to do is make people realize that these are percentage plays. Simple things that I'm about to talk about are not going to, they're not a magic pill. They're not going to change the world. But let's just pretend that what I'm about to tell you will make you 2% more effective. Just 2. If you don't want those 2 percentage points, please give them to me. I'll take them. Because
So what are you saying? So basically, it's not going to make us change 100%, but 2% is a lot. And so these steps that you're about to talk about will change us, right? But not that much?
Yeah. Well, singularly, they won't. And I just wrote an article, so let me give you an example of me.
Okay.
Let's just talk about our health. Let's leave the topic and talk about health. I had a cup of tea this morning. I put stevia in it. I'm told that's better than sugar and better than artificial sweeteners. Now, if that's all I did to become healthy, to follow a healthy lifestyle, I'm not really making a dramatic impact. But what if I watch the sweetener, exercise, try and keep my mind right, eat the right foods? You see, each one is a percentage play. And collectively, they make us healthier. So what up now? Let's transfer to this topic. When we don't, let's just talk about one, for instance, which I think is a major battle we fight, which is controlling the negative voices. We all have voices, but we have negative voices, particularly when we're bruised, particularly when we're beat up a little bit. And those negative voices, they're really amazing. They disguise themselves as humor sometimes. In other words, we're on a lot, we're driving that car, we're walking down the sidewalk, we stumble a little bit, and we go, okay, stupid, how about watch the sidewalk next time? But that's not funny to me. What happens is we do it more than we think. If we could just take that as a percentage play, this is me taking the sweetener out and putting stevia in. If we could just consciously control the negative voices, we begin to repair, because we will start believing those negative voices if we're not careful. And like I said, they disguise themselves as humor or just harmless little comments. They're not harmless. They're not funny. And it's a very small move that I think we need to pay attention to.
Oh, and I don't even know if it's a small move, Rob. I mean, it's huge. We all say those negative things to us. And we know psychologically that the negative is likely to last longer and outweigh the positive. So how do we control those negative voices? Can you give us an example? Do we stop the humor? Do we write something down when it comes out? How do we do that?
Great, great question. And I think, you know, there's that old model out there called, you know, the four levels of conscious behavior: unconscious incompetency, conscious incompetency, conscious competency, and unconscious competency. But let me tie this in. A lot of times we're unconsciously incompetent. In other words, we don't know that we don't know. And the topic we're on right now, and you ask, how do you do it? First, we have to become conscious. We have to realize, okay, I'm now aware that that's not what I want to do. See, before we had these conversations, a lot of people think, I don't do it all that often, and what's the big deal? Well, it is a big deal. So let's start by becoming consciously incompetent. Once we're aware of a deficiency, it's a whole lot easier to tackle it. Now we're going to move to conscious competency, which means we're going to be a little bit robotic, but we're going to, some people will put a note out. I think just being aware of every time we say it and not giving ourselves the excuse of, hey, I'm just kidding, Mike, I'm just teasing. Once we become aware, we're a little bit more robotic, but we're trying to transfer that fourth area, which is unconscious competency. I'd like to be kind to myself, and I don't want to have to think about it all day long, but I have to kind of go through that conscious competency to get there.
I like that. And, you know, working with couples, Rob, I talk about that as well, that sometimes we're not aware of the comments we make to our partner that are negative, critical, not positive. And so becoming conscious of that is really important. And then somehow noting it, that how often you do it, or the lack of the positive even, sometimes is just as bad as the negative, that it's really important to control not only the negative voices you're saying in yourself, but the negativity that comes out between people as well. Okay, so we have step one, controlling the negative voices. What's another step that we can do?
Okay, how about this one? How about we just balance our feedback? And you know, it's funny, I've given feedback to so many presenters and people that I coach and mentor. It really dawned on me that, why am I not treating myself the same way? Because when we give feedback to others, it's actually very logical to balance it. Why would I give you feedback and tell you, hey, here are the 18 things you didn't do real well, and wait a minute, I might be able to find one you did well. nothing's going to change. All I'm going to do is beat you up a little bit. And quite frankly, I'm not so sure how much longer this relationship will last. So we've learned, even with our children, with our friends, with our significant others, that the most effective way is not just to keep it in balance, but don't be overwhelming. In other words, I call it two and two. I love two and two. As I said, I've got 2.5 million miles in the air in seminar and workshop delivery, flying around the world. And I still, to this day, when I finish a presentation, I take out a piece of paper on that plane. Actually, no, I write it on my laptop. And I always start with two positives because I've trained my mind to do that. I don't care whether the projector fell on my head. I'm going to start with two positives. Hey, it didn't knock me out and I completed the presentation. There's one. But I keep it to two, and then I balance it the other side. And I love this sort of filter in. If I could do that again, what two things would I do differently? And this is a 30-year pro telling you that I still want to get better, but see, when I give myself two things to do, I can accomplish that. I can actually not just go, well, I probably need to be more careful. Well, what, just like this interview, that's great, Rob, but what does that mean? And how are you going to do it? What step will you take? So by balancing the feedback, starting positive, and giving yourself two things with a game plan to solve it, we can't help but evolve.
And improve as well. So, you know, take it back to the listener who's at home or on the treadmill listening to this program. What would they do? So would it be anytime, let's say, I meet someone new, I go on an interview, this two and two, balancing the feedback. When would I do it? Would I do it a lot during my day? Would I do it once a week, once a month?
Yeah, you know, it's and I think that there is no one-size-fits-all for this one. So for me, as you just heard, it's really natural. I have completed a program. I'm on the plane. Right. I'm like Pavlov's dog. I mean, I'm ready for that 10,000-foot bell when the plane's up high enough so we can drop our table and open that laptop. So I think it's, you know, for each person, it's a little bit different. And it's also going to depend on what exactly they're tackling. So I'm not sure we need to micromanage the time on it as much. It's just to say that we're leaping off controlling the negative voices and we're moving to another tactic, which is when we're sitting down and we're talking to ourselves. And quite frankly, because I coach people, a lot of times I like to do this once a day, and I like to do it, my clients at least, the same time each day. It's just there isn't a magic time. Some people are morning people, some are evening, but just kind of evaluate your day, or if it's a relationship, that weekend that you just spent, or maybe it's just parenting your children through a difficult episode. Why can't we sit back and analyze what we did well? And boy, if I could have that conversation with my son, what would I do differently? And sometimes I'll balance it at one and one. So, but it's always going to be imbalanced. You got it.
I like that. Mm-hmm. I like that, Rob. I mean, because it really allows us for the goal to be getting better, improving ourselves in whatever realm or area, as you said, whether it be parenting, a relationship with a partner, an interview, giving a presentation. It gears us toward getting better in a very positive, balanced way, as you said. So I love it. So one, controlling the negative voices, two, balance our feedback. And I like that, two positives, and then two things that we would like to do, a game plan with steps. Are there other steps that we can do as well?
Well, yeah. And for instance, and now I'm just going to kind of balance it with some moves that I like, some things I like to plant in people's brain. That person on the treadmill you were talking about who may be listening. One of the things that I do when I'm trying to kind of restore that belief in somebody is to remind them that, and it's a phrase, it's actually a phrase you'll find in a biblical references in different places, so I can't quite give it an author, but I love the concept of reminding people that we all have a limp. We all have a limp. And this is important. And this is the stevia, we got the cream, the tea, we're just adding another percentage play. Rather than hide from that limp And you know, it's funny, when we come out of school, we're too young. Well, how are we going to get this job? We're too young. As we get older, now we're too old. I can't change that. We can't change our age. We can't change our gender. We can't change our size. Maybe we have a stutter. We all have a limp. And quite frankly, usually it's not the person on the other table that's all that concerned with it. The only concern they have is, can you adapt to your limp? Is it bothering you? So a lot of times we're kind of shooting ourselves in our own foot there. But I think we need to come to grips with the fact that we don't need to beat ourselves about because we have a limp. We have to understand there's only two people in this world that don't have a limp, in a sense. One, a person who's not telling the truth, and two, a person that would have absolutely no capacity to have empathy for another individual. And quite frankly, I'm not so sure I want to be in the room with that person. Let's be more relaxed. Let's come to grips with the fact that don't be ashamed of the limp that you may have. Just embrace it. And if you're okay with it, the rest of the world's okay with it.
I like that too. You know, we all have to understand that no one is perfect. At least, as you said, anyone we want to be with isn't perfect, and that we all have these limps. I like that. I usually call them weaknesses or struggles or challenges, but a limp sort of encapsulates it in a very different way. I like that. So we all have a limp. We have to give ourselves a break. Now, you know, as we're thinking about these steps, Rob, and you've given us really three great ideas to use, and we only have a little bit of time left. What's the book? Who's the audience for the book? You've given us these three steps. Are there more steps in the book? Is the audience a particular person who should go read your book?
Okay. So now this is a very dangerous question and a dangerous answer. So here comes danger.
Which
you never want in this world. It's okay.
I'm worried.
I'll be okay. Don't worry. But the reason why is because I'm sort of holding my chin here. You know, the one thing you don't want to do in business or even as an author is be everything to everybody. You know, that's a very tall order. And so we look for our niche. And quite frankly, working with four different publishers, I can tell you they will run for the hills when they hear there's a book for everybody. So now that I've gotten that out of the way, I'm going to tell you, I'm trying to figure out who the book is not for. Because when you think about it, of course, it was birthed. In an environment of hundreds and hundreds of people over a five-year period of time who are struggling with that belief, who are struggling to get others to believe them. But all of a sudden, I started working with my corporate clients, major Fortune 500 companies, who said, half our building is struggling. Our managers struggled with that from time to time. Our HR department struggled with it. I've worked with over 500 loan officers right now who have been given the words, but we're not taught the tune. We're not taught, they were told, it's right in the document, please be empathetic. Nobody taught them how to get into character. In the book, I actually talk in great detail about how we can learn from actors and actually get into character. I don't need to be empathetic by reading a word. I need to take myself to that place. And, you know, Carol Burnett said this. I love this quote. She said, when the body doesn't know when the mind is acting. Now, play that out in your head for a second. The body doesn't know when the mind is acting. So now here come those hand gestures. Here comes our facial expression. So really, it's teaching people there are techniques and tactics that address this. And again, I'm just trying to figure out who wouldn't need this.
Right. I think everybody is. So basically what you're saying, and I agree, that this book is for everyone because all of us, as I said at the beginning of the show, have questioned ourselves, have said, you know, am I really credible? Am I right? Am I enough? And so you're saying that your book is for everyone. And, you know, Rob, I love that. And we're all out of time as well. So it was a great ending. Thank you so much for joining me today. What a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I could go another 3 hours, but that's what I do for
a
living.
We can just do another show, but I love your energy. I love your tune. I love it because you can even see that you're probably doing your nonverbals in a way to be credible, in a way to be enthusiastic, and that you really believe not only in yourself, but the material that you're telling us about today. So thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. It's absolutely a pleasure. I thoroughly enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you. And listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Rob Jolis or his new book, Why People Don't Believe You, Building Credibility from the Inside Out, just go to his website, jolis.com. And that's JOLLES.com. You can also connect with him on Facebook at Jolis Associates or on Twitter at Rob Jolis. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.